For my glory will cover the earth. My word will cover the earth. It will go out from all nations, from all peoples, from all sources that would make themselves available. And my word will cover the earth, and the ears that have been sleeping are going to be woke up. For as the system of the world collapses, and people remember that they have no lasting hope to offer, they will seek me out again, says the Lord. And they will cry out unto me, says God. And I will answer them. And I will draw them into my kingdom. I will draw them to myself, declares God. For I am seeking all over the world for those who hunger and thirst. For those who are willing to come under my government, I am seeking out these people, says God. And there's many, 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 many that have been caught up in the things of the world. But as those things fade, as they begin to pass away, more and more they will seek for the answer. And as they seek, they shall find that I am the answer. That there is no one beside me. There is no one that can answer the heart cry that they have except for me, declares God. And they will come to me by the thousands, by the millions. They will come unto me, declares God. And they will come and they will bring light into my church. To those institutions that call themselves my church, the ungodly have become godly, and they will bring light into the deadness of the institution, and they will bring life back into the church. For they will not be content to sing the old songs, the old way, but they will have found a living God. And as they find that living God, they will bring that life with them. And those places that will not allow them to express my life will cease to exist. For they shall fade away even as the things of the world fade away. For I am bringing my light into the darkness. And the darkness has to yield to the light. For the light is greater than any darkness that is upon this earth. Apostle Ron Hairston.
Amen. Praise God. Well, thank you very much. Amen. It's good to be with you guys again tonight. Amen. God is just doing some great work in our lives, and I'm excited about it. And we've been eating the Word. And before I even got here, you were already eating the Word. How I know that, because it's kind of, you know, some places you got to go. You got to just tear down some trees and clean out some rocks and all that other stuff. I didn't have to do that when I came here. So thank God for your leadership here, and Gordon and Debbie Brubaker. Let's give them a hand. Can we do that, please? Amen. Amen. And we do appreciate, amen, your sacrifice and how you actually are good leaders. Amen. I don't say that to about everybody. Sometimes I just don't say anything. Praise God. That way I won't get in trouble, praise God. But we're just excited, and it's good, and it's an honor to say that you have a good leader, because he loves God and he loves you. Amen. And that goes a long way, praise God. So that I'm excited about. This is the last night. This is the last dance. But, you know, I was telling my wife today, she was tickled. I said to Pastor Gordon, I said, he slips every once in a while. He comes out of my, he's going to be here till Friday. I said, he's trying to keep me here. She just laughed, amen. But she sends her love also, even though she wasn't able to make it. But she's been praying for you guys, and let you know that you have a family in Columbus, Ohio. Amen. So when we get together, amen, if we don't get together here, we'll get together there. And we're going to have a glorious good time in the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Open your Bibles if you would. Amen. I want you to go to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 4. And we're going to read verses 1 through 11. That's Hebrews, chapter number 4, verses 1 through 11. And we're going to read this in the King James Version first. And we're going to pull some information out of there tonight. And I think we'll bless you. Amen. We're going to just give you something I think will help anchor your soul into the Word. that will help you in your journey, in your walk, in your relationship with God, because God is in the building business. Amen. He's in the building and edifying business, and I'm so glad that he doesn't leave us to ourselves. He's given us a way, amen, that we can still see when the world gets even more darker. Can y'all say amen? Well, let's pray. Father, we just want to thank you for our time together. Thank you for these kings and priests that are called by your name. We yield ourselves to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Come on, Holy Ghost, take this vessel. Use it for the glory of God. Help us to disseminate the word of God. Let an impartation take place in the hearts and the minds of the people. As you've given in this time, we thank you for what you've done every night this week. You've been faithful through the praise and the worship, through the attendance, God, even through the offering. We thank you for those who have sowed money into my life, Father, into the ministry that you've given us, and I pray that you return it back unto them 100-fold. And I thank you even now. We bind the enemy and all his devices, that he will have no place to rule or reign in this place. Jesus will be magnified through his word, and we welcome the ministry of the Holy Spirit and angels tonight in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. We've been talking about having godly vision, and tonight we're going to be talking about godly vision will entitle you to receive the promises of God. Godly vision will entitle you to receive the promises of God. Can y'all say amen? So what we're going to do as a case study tonight, we're going to look at the children of Israel, how they didn't receive all that God has for them. So what you're going to find in Hebrews chapter number 4 is going to give us a backdrop, amen, talking about the children of Israel. How many remember when they were in bondage 400 years? Y'all remember that? And the Bible said they were in bondage 400 years. And then God sent a man by the name of Moses, amen, the preacher. And also he sent Aaron with him. The Bible said they went and told Pharaoh that God said, let his people go. Praise God. And you know how that is. God delivered them out of Egypt. They got to a point where they got to the Red Sea, and then they got afraid because it looked like it was all over, because you know what? The golden chariots was coming. But then God opened up what? The Red Sea. But he always told them that he was going to deliver them, but then take them to a place of promise. That's interesting. And we'll talk about that as we go forth in the scripture tonight. It reads, let us therefore fear lest a promise of being left of entering into his rest any of you should seem to come short of. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we have believed, do enter into his rest, as he has said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundations of the world. For he spake in a certain place on the seventh day, and on this wise, and God did rest on the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remains, somebody said remains. It said there's remained some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he said, again he limited a certain day, saying, David, today after so long, as it said today, if you would hear his voice and harden not your heart. If Jesus had given them rest, or Joshua, amen, it could be that way, but it says here, then they would have not afterwards have been spoken of another day. And then therefore, it says there remaineth, somebody said remaineth, therefore a rest for the rest to the people of God, I'm sorry. For he that enters into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. The key verse is the 11th verse. It says, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, that lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Can y'all say amen? So we're talking about, amen, having the right vision will cause us to enter into or to be entitled to receive the promises of God. Now, the promises of God are just more than you just being saved up out of Egypt. In other words, God has a full package, and the package is awesome because it says here in the word that he promised them, amen, that they were going into a place of rest. Now, the rest, amen, was given to them by the preacher who preached the gospel. The word gospel means good news. That means God said, listen, when he was talking to the children of Israel, he said, listen, I'm going to deliver you. Now, that was hard for them to hear because, you know, when you've been in bondage 400 years and then somebody just show up just one day and tell you, you know what, amen, amen, that God is going to deliver you, But the thing here is that God delivered them, but he wanted to deliver them out of Egypt, but that wasn't all that he wanted to do for them. And sometimes the church, we think we're just saved. We think that's all that God wants to do for us till we get to heaven. Are you hearing me? So what happens has what's happening is that he had to show them that not only that he delivered them, but also he owned them as their children, and he was going to provide for them. Do you not know that when they got delivered and went into the wilderness, the Bible says their clothes never grew old? Amen. That's a miracle within itself. They were growing, and the clothes was growing with them. How's that? Can you know, the kids are getting older. They weren't able to go to the store, but the clothes are growing with the clothes were, y'all didn't hear me. The clothes are growing with them. Are you hearing me? Now, they had to hurry up and leave because they, you know what? They didn't have time to pack. Come on now. They had to hurry up and just get to going. So the thing is, God provided for them. The Bible says that there were signs and wonders to let them know, number one, that they were not alone. That's important for you to hear, because sometimes this says that the word was not mixed with faith. In other words, they heard the word that, which is the word of promise that God has for us, but if you don't claim it, if you don't say it's yours, remember we talked about what our faith is? Our faith is what? It's our confidence in God. It's our what? Confession in God. And it's our obedience in God. Those are keys. Somebody say keys. See, keys, in other words, these keys work if you put them in the segment that they should be in. What happens is God will open up because you're showing God that you have the faith to receive what he has for you, not only in this life, but also the next. Now, I want to say something, because what he was trying to lead them to is a place what we call maturity. Somebody say maturity. Maturity is when you're just full. You're full of the knowledge of God's promises, and what you need to be full of, and which they didn't quite have, God cannot lie. Hello? So when God promised them, amen, it's as good as gold, because he can't lie. Now, the thing is that a lot of times we try to weigh whether or not God is faithful, because we want to see the thing manifested when we want to see it manifested. How many of it won't happen when you think it needs to happen? It'll happen in his timing. Can y'all say amen? Now, I like this because, listen, fruitfulness leads to maturity. The fruitfulness is you building your faith up. And this is what the children of Israel did not do. You can't build your faith up forgetting what God has already done in the small things. Now, delivering them out of Egypt was not small. Hello, somebody. That wasn't small. Listen, that was enough that should have built their confidence up to the degree that if they encountered anything, they could have went to Moses and said, you know what? God is leading us. We need his help. But it seemed like every time they got in a situation where they couldn't get out, they forgot, amen, about what God had already done. Yes. See, sometimes we don't need a miracle. Sometimes we just need a memory. Come on. Because we're looking for a miracle, but we need to remember. Because when you remember, listen, it's important. When you remember, now you are stabilizing your faith, amen, your confidence in God, your confession to say that, you know what, I'm going to speak beyond what I see. And now the obedience again, I'm going to stand till he gives me the instructions of what I need to do next. Because that's important, because you have to remember, when God leads you to where he's leading even them, he's doing things in your life that will build up your faith and your confidence in him. He's doing that for a reason, because he doesn't want you to forget. Because as soon as you forget, you have nothing to have reference to other than what you see. And listen, the Bible said the just walk by what? Faith, and not by sight. So listen, the maturity of that is when you understand how you've matured and trained yourself to understand that what I see, amen, will not deter me away from what God has already spoken concerning my life, because God cannot lie. If he promised, it has to come to pass. Maybe it might not come to pass and when I think it needs to come to pass, or in the timing I think it needs to come to pass, but it will come to pass. Somebody said, it will come to pass. Now, despite, amen, them coming out of the wilderness, he's bringing them now into a place called Canaan land. And now this is the true test. If they drew on their memory, they were ready to go into Canaan land. The Bible says that God sent out spies. Y'all remember that in the Bible? That's Numbers 14, if you need to look at it later to check me out, amen. So it talks about, hey, he sent out spies, amen. And the Bible says that two came back with a good report. How many came back with an evil report? So he sent out 12 spies. 12 is really talking about the number of government, how God works in that 12 number. I ain't got time to go there, but anyhow, 10 came back with what? An evil report. Now listen, listen what God calls evil. Evil is when we don't agree with him. Oh, that'll preach. Evil, see, we think evil is in our immorality and humanism and all that stuff that we do when we struggle in our flesh. God can deal with that. Somebody said God can deal with that. See, God, in other words, what, I'll tell you how he can deal with it. He gives us grace. Even though we're imperfected in our humanism, he gives us grace to overshadow that. But there's something that God can't cover, which is called unbelief. He can't deal with that. Are you listening to me? It's important that you hear that because I'm going a little bit deeper, but stay with me because what am I saying? God, what he called evil is that they, listen, God sent them out and this is the instructions. The instructions, you follow the instructions. Tell somebody, please follow the instructions. See, if they would just follow the instructions, they would have been all right. Because like God said, I'm going to send you 12 out on assignment, all right? You're going to be my mouthpiece, but here's the instructions. Go and spy out the land. Touch your neighbor and say, go spy out the land. Look over on this side. Say, go spy out the land. How many know that's the instructions? He never told them to go spy out the people. Because God didn't promise them the people. Oh, I'm preaching all right. He promised them the land. The land. So now if we're following instructions, when we 12 went out, we should have put our focus on the land. Is that right? Because God never told us to look at the people. He said, look at the land. The preacher has been telling you all along, Moses, that the land is flowing with milk and honey. Amen. There's houses there. There's vineyard. Everything you need, God has provided. Come on here. Am I talking right? And so what he said, I need you to go bring, be a witness because the word of faith has said it, but they have no eyes and ears to it. So I'm going to send you out to be the witness, the evidence, to see that it's true. Now, when they got out there, they mixed the assignment up because God never told them. He never told them. My God, I read it over and over again. I looked at it upside down, right side up, and I looked at it, amen, in different versions. He never told them to look at the people. He told them to go check out the land. Now, the 10 come back. Now, listen, the 10 come back. What they don't realize is that what your words do will influence others. What your word, what you say can influence others. Now, when they come back, 10 come back, and the Bible says they came back with an evil report. What God called evil is when you don't say what he said or do what he told you to do. Come on, is that right? So the Bible says they told the multitudes. Now listen, they had never touched or seen the land. The 10 go out, they come back, they speak first. It'd have been better if they let the 2 speak first, but I don't know, maybe it was the majority or whatever. So they got up and then they tell the people, they start out right, come on now. And they say, oh, the land that God has promised us, it is flowing with milk and honey. Oh, there's grapes, there's houses, there's vineyards. Everything is good. Somebody should have said, shut up after that and just sit down. But no, they said, but the people. See, remember we said that last night in the English language, that word but means there's a continuation of that sentence after that which has been said in the beginning. So they're speaking and building the people up by telling them what God said is true, but the people. He said, we're like grasshoppers compared to them. My question is, what does it have to do with your assignment that God told you? He never told you to look at the people. Could it be that God already knew they were giants? I'll deal with the people. I'm going to give you the land. Is that all right? So they brought back an evil report. So it said the multitudes of people became fearful. And then when Joshua and Caleb seen where the people's hearts were going based upon what they heard, that's important because you have to fight unbelief just like I do based upon this world system because they're trying to speak things in our ear that cause us to doubt whether God can fulfill the promise of keeping us when the world is on fire. Are y'all hearing me tonight? So we got to, listen, Joshua and Caleb stood up and they began to engage, contend for their faith. Well, how did they do that? They began to let them know, he said, and it's true, they are bigger than we are. But in the light of who God is and who the God has delivered us out of bondage for 400 years, the God that opened up the Red Sea, amen. When we needed water, water came out of the rock, praise God. When we were cold, it was a pillar by fire by day and light, a cloud by day and fire by night, amen. They remembered all of that. And in the reference of the equation about what they had to deal with in terms of what they saw, they said in their memory, God is bigger. Touch the neighbor, said, you have to remember now. Because you cannot forget in the light of what you may face tomorrow or the next day or the next day. You have history with God. And through his son, we have relationship. And relationship ties us to this word called covenant. And this covenant is sealed by blood. And not only that, but the Spirit of God, amen, which is part of the Trinity of God, moves over that to let you know that you're not by yourself. Is that all right? I like the other part. Angels, amen, they encamp around us in the process. We're on the win-win situation. Is that all right? So this example says, it says, listen, it tells us in Scripture, it says, listen, to beware of the fact, amen, don't let unbelief keep you from entering into his rest. Can y'all say amen? Unbelief is an interesting word. Amen. It's a conjunction tied onto a word. What is the word? The word in this natural source is called belief. That's the word. The negative part of that word is a prefix tied to it. It's un. Come on. It's un what? That's right. So that prefix is negative. But belief is positive. See, but the thing, the two can't mix. Either you're one or the other. But the thing was, see, you were in belief, but you went to belief to what? Unbelief, and that was a choice. We have a choice to stay in belief and not become unbelievers, even though things are facing us and the enemy is roaring and things are falling apart. We can still stay in the part of belief, knowing that God's going to work some things out on our behalf. Can y'all say amen? The key verse was the 11th verse. It said, let us therefore enter into his rest. At least any man should fall short of the same example. And that's important because we have to labor to enter into his rest. This is what we're going to talk about tonight, about the laboring aspect of entering his rest. Now, one scripture we're going to look at, look over Matthew 11 and 28, amen, as we walk this thing out tonight. Because, you know, we're going to leave you with something, I think, that will real bless you and give you something that you can engage in, because you have to engage, amen. If you don't engage, you can't receive what God has for you, because there's no neutral in God. Either you're believing God or you're not believing God, amen. Or you're questioning God, amen, amen. Whatever it might be, God wants us to mature to the fact that we can graduate by receiving those things he has for us in this life and also the next. In Matthew 11 and 28, Jesus said, come unto me. Are y'all there? Come unto me, amen, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Somebody say rest. Somebody say rest. Now, listen, the 29th verse says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you shall find what? For meek and lowly in heart, excuse me, and you shall find rest unto your soul. Somebody say soul. And then it says here, for my yoke is easy, my burden is what? Light. Now, when you read these texts, 28 through 30, how many times does he mention the word rest? Come on, talk to me real quick. Verses 29, 28, 29, 30. How many times do you see the word rest? Say it out loud. Two, right? So how many know that, listen, it's important you hear this. The first rest, he says, come unto me, all you that heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you what? Rest. The first rest is salvation. That's the first rest. When he delivered the children of Israel out of the bondage of Pharaoh and the world system, they had gotten saved. The Savior, amen, through the message, amen, amen, was the promise. They got delivered. They were saved. Is that all right? But see, how many know the second rest has a lot to do with you understanding that everything you need in life, in this life, and the next life has already been provided. Basically, when he delivered the children of Israel, everything was provided from them for their salvation. But why get saved and still have to struggle? Why get saved and still not know where we're going to live? He had already had it already mapped out and planned out for them. So it took faith for us to receive salvation from Jesus. Is that right? Well, it's going to take faith for you also to receive the promise of God that God has for you in this life as well as the next. Can y'all say amen? Now, notice it says here, as we begin to look at this, he says, take my yoke upon you. Listen, the first part, he said, come. Is that right? How many know that's easy? Yeah, just come over here. Oh, that don't require anything. Just shuffle them legs on over there and get on over there, right? But when he says take, he's telling you to take ownership now. Take ownership in what? He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So now we know, take the process of learning. Come on now. He says, take the process of learning, and then you'll find out, amen, as you take the process of learning, because what you're going to learn how to do things God's way. There's only two ways you can live your life in the earth. You can live it your way, or you can live it God's way. God, he doesn't twist our arm to make you live his way. Some people make you think that, you know. But no. It's a choice to live God either God's way or your way. So here it says, he says, take your yoke upon you and learn of me. So now he says, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find. Learning will cause you to find something. Ooh, glory to God. Learning, but you have to take first. You have to take ownership first. I tell people all the time, it's not my responsibility to grow you up. Because if it's my responsibility, then I'm your excuse for you not growing. Because everybody needs an excuse to get out from underneath the pressure. I remember one time my son, he was a middle school, and he went to school, and I went there, and me and my wife, you know how you go to the school, you check your kids, parents, I'm checking out the teacher in the classroom and sitting there and went in one of his classrooms. And on the board, it said this. And the teacher had wrote on the board, if you say this class is boring, you're lazy. I said, I like this teacher. So what she was trying to say is that the object, don't blame you, don't blame me, the teacher, of your failure. I will give you the information, but if you don't take the information, that's on you. Are you listening to me today? See, just like when God, he gave them the information through the preacher to tell them that there is land flowing with milk and honey, and the only reason they didn't enter in is because they chose not to believe. It's important because regardless whether you can reason it, understand it, it doesn't matter because faith has nothing to do with whether you can reason or understand it or make it sense. Faith is when you just put your heart out and say, God, I believe what you say. I agree with you. Now do what you said you're going to do. And if we stand still, remember when the children of Israel were in freight, Pharaoh was coming with the army. I mean, they were panicking. They said, oh, man, they're 1.2 miles away. They're a mile away. They're half a mile away. What are we going to do? They got closer and closer. And what did God tell the man of God? He said, tell the people. He lifted up his rod. Tell the people to what? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So the closer they got, that didn't move God. God was to say, I want to see how they're going to react. I want to see if they remember. He said, I put them in a position where they can't run. Two mountains on both sides, come on. River, it's all in front of them. Amen. See, sometimes you're in a position you can't get out of it. Instead of looking at what's behind you, we need to look at who's before us so we can remember that you've been in that place before and somehow he moved on your behalf. So it doesn't matter if he comes in the midnight hour, early in the morning, afternoon. All we know, he's coming. Amen. Can y'all say amen? Now notice, amen, as we move a little bit further, there's another scripture I want to look at, and it's found over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 7. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, Paul was telling the church, amen, at Corinth, amen, I told you the word church means ecclesia. He's telling a bunch of believers, said, listen, this is what you need to focus on. Amen. He tells them, first of all, in 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, these are our marching orders, amen. And if you don't have to, you have to learn this if you don't learn anything else. Because remember, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in yourself. Learning will cause you to find something. But learning is interesting because it's something that you do personally. Yeah. Personally. The things we have a problem now about the children today, they do group dynamics. Yeah. They want everybody to be in the room when they share. That don't mean individually you'll get it. Yeah. Hello? Because even you in the group, you still got to personally put it in your heart, put it in your mind, and hold on to it, and then eat on it, and then what? God will bless that you take in. Now, notice it says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, he's already got it up. It says, for we walk by and not by. Now, that faith is an intellectual knowledge of God's word. That's why he said, learn of me, and the learning comes by the ear. Faith come by, and hearing by the. That's why he said in the scripture, he said, he spoke the word, and they heard it, but then they heard it not. Because why they didn't hear it? They didn't pay reference to it, and they kept forgetting. You cannot forget, amen, that when you get up in the morning, it's not about what you see, it's about what he says. It's not about what you see, it's about what he says. It's not about what you feel, it's about what he says. It's not about what they say, it's about what he says. It's not about anything else, about what he says. And what he says is what we put our faith and our confidence in, because we agree with him that he's able, amen, to do for me what I can't do for myself. He did not save me so I could struggle through life and get a blessing here and there. He saved me so that what? There's a plan available to me that I can enter into his rest. But you can't enter into the rest till you take the position of learning, and learning, amen, will put you in a place of what? Receiving what God has for you, because you will find it. And when you find something, my God, because the woman lost the coin in the house, you know what? It was a precious coin. What did she do? She didn't just sit there and say, oh, I lost it. She went to cleaning up that house, because you said, coin, I ain't been outside. It's got to be in here somewhere, amen. So it took a lot of labor for her to what? To turn some things over. Look here, look there, amen, until she what? Found the coin, amen. There's some things that you and I, amen, the preacher won't be able to get it to you, but he'll give you the information. Then you got the process to find it for yourself. Because once you find it, the key is I need to quit believing in what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing, and I need to believe what God's word says about me. And if you don't have enough word, amen, to believe on, ask the preacher to give you some scriptures so you can say, I'm going to believe in this scripture and what God says about me, because the just shall walk by faith and not by sight. It's not blind faith. It's an intellectual knowledge of God's word. It's when you hear the gospel, which is good news. Jesus said, if I be for you, who could be against you? You know what? So that's enough faith. If you believe that, everything else is a mute point. Yeah. Somebody said a mute point. Now let's move a little bit further. Y'all still with me? Yes. Let's look at another scripture. Hebrews, amen, 6 and verse number 12. Oh, I'm doing good time here. Praise God. We're going to make it happen. It's my last night. I'm going to make it happen. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. In Hebrews chapter number 6, when you're there, say amen. In Hebrews chapter number 6 and verse number 12. Hebrews 6 and verse number 12. This is another thing. When you learn, amen, when you learn, amen, what's going to happen is you're going to find out that there are certain protocols that you have to adjust yourself to, because learning is about education. Education is about building character. Character is when you change your will to do his will. Amen. And the will of God is the word of God. So now you're more concerned about the word of God than you are your feelings, more about what other people say, because we're not living in that realm anymore. We're living by the faith of God's word, the faith of God's word, the faith of God's word, the faith of God's word. So constantly I'm writing that in my mind, that I'm living by the faith of God's word. And then every time I hear something that's negative concerning what God says, I have to tell myself, that's not how I'm living anymore. I'm living by the faith of God's word. So you have to tell yourself, and you know what? We don't do that enough. Because even if you're going to take a course, a biology class, physics, or whatever, it comes a time in that study and all you're doing, you have to start telling yourself what the book says. Because you're rewriting it. What you say gets on your heart. Come on, what you say gets on your heart. That's why meditating is powerful. When you say it, when you mutter it, when you say it over and over again, like cows. Cows eat grass. They don't just swallow it. Amen. They swallow it. They bring it back up again, chew it again, swallow it. That don't sound good, do it. Amen. Amen. But they don't have good digestive system, so that's why they do that. Are y'all hearing me today? So sometimes we want to get the word in us. We have to practice, learn, apply, and engage. Amen. Don't be afraid. You don't have to know Hebrews. You don't have to know all the Bible, but understand what God wants you to process through you. And then when we just read it, that what? The just walk by and not by. So most of the time, we're not even paying attention to that, because many times when I'm talking to people, they'll tell me how they feel because I'm listening. Oh, I feel like, I said, whoa. I said, I know where they at. They're in the feeling realm. And somebody said, oh, I saw such. Oh, they're in the sight realm. And I'm like, okay, have they learned to get in the faith realm yet? So it's us making adjustments. Can y'all say amen? Can I go a little bit further? Look in Hebrews 6 and 12. Are y'all there? It says, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them through faith. Somebody say faith. And patience. Inherit the promises. Y'all hear that? Now he's given us the key how we receive, amen, the promises. First of all, he said faith, but now he's talking about fruit now. Somebody say fruit. Patience is the fruit, one of the fruits of the Spirit. There are 9 fruits of the Spirit. Come on now. And patience is one of them. So the Spirit will give you patience. Somebody said, I already got patience. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. We're quick to move in a minute. The light's red, you know what I'm saying? One time I was at a light, and I was sitting there, I knew, just counting. And after I got through counting, it didn't change. I said, I count again. It still didn't change. I'm the only one on the street now. There ain't nobody around. I'm just, it didn't change again, so, you know, I waited. I said, something's wrong with this. So now I know that sometimes they have triggers in the road, you know what I'm talking about? So I pull the car up a little bit further, get it up on the strip, and then I count. Still ain't changed. Y'all like, the light's still red. And then if I look back, then it turned green. Come on now. Now what was that? You know what that was? You know what the fruit of that was? Impatience. Impatience will cause you to move out of position. Impatience will cause you to move out of position. Impatience will cause you to move out of position. So God knows he's got to give his, by his Spirit, he produces in us what we call patience. And patience is when you endure without complaining. You endure without complaining. That's hard. People, you can tell they get impatient. Something goes wrong. I never will forget, we went on a road trip, and it was a bunch of believers. We got in a car, got in three vans, and we were going to drive to Bradenton, Florida from Columbus. That's a long drive. So we started out. Everybody was excited. The joy of the Lord. You could feel the joy of the Lord all in the bus. I mean, everybody was just excited. We all praising and thanking God. And we got into the trip of this journey. We went from one state to another state. And then finally, you can see all that excitement start wearing off of people. And then it was getting late in the hour. And I remember driving one of the buses, amen, one of the lead buses. And we had the map. We only had one map then, so everybody's following one another. And this is years and years and years ago. So I'm driving, and, you know, after a while, the people in the bus, they were complaining. We ain't there yet. You know, it's a good test. You think we all love and kind? Listen, when we got in that bus, we're going to find out who got some fruit inside of them. Praise God. Come, when it was all over, the light, the bus that was behind us was flashing the light because I was in the lead, and they thought we were lost. We ain't there yet. So we pulled over, and I said, listen, we ain't lost. I said, the map said this is where we are. Well, we ain't there yet. I said, y'all just need to trust the map. Don't trust me. Trust the map. Amen. Because you can't believe me. Read what the map said. So what we're saying, sometimes if you don't realize, the enemy will try to push you out of position because you're frustrated and you're impatient, because your impatience will push you out of the place where God said you need to stand in order to receive what he has for you. If you don't mind, put this up in the Amplified Bible. If you can do that for me, sir, I appreciate it. And let me hit this point. Are y'all learning anything tonight? I'm trying to help somebody, amen, to understand the process to receive the promises of God in your life. Amen. It's just other than salvation, God has promised some other things for us in this life that a lot of people don't even have a clue, because all they're worried about is trying to get to heaven. Well, I don't mind getting to heaven, but there's some things I need right now before I get to heaven. Is that all right? So I got to have faith for it and understand the process of how God said I need to receive it. Amen. Now notice it says here in the Amplified, it says, in order that you may not grow disinterest and become what spiritually what? Come on. And then it goes on and says this, but be what? Imitators, behaving as do those who through faith by their leaning on what? The entire what? Of what? That's the character of God. Remember, the one root of the character of God, he can't lie. Amen. Let's read a little bit more. It says, in Christ, in the absolute what? Trust, we're in trouble. Because sometimes we're trying to trust based upon what we see, what we feel, and what we think. But trust is based upon a word. And even though you can't track what God is doing, you've got to trust him. You might not be able to trace him, but you still got to trust him. Does that make any sense? Now, it says trust and confidence. That word confidence is confidence in his what? Power, wisdom, and goodness, and by patience of practice. So another word, practice of patience. We have to practice patience. Sometimes I'm driving, you know, sometimes I got a bad habit of looking in the rearview mirror. I do. I drive, even coming here, I was driving, and you could see people just trying to push you down the road. But now I got so good at it, I just act like I don't see him. Because in my mind, I say, you may be in a hurry, but I'm not. See, touch your neighbor, say, don't let the enemy push you. Because when he pushes you, he takes your emotions all over the place. I say he takes your emotions all over the place. One minute you're hot, one minute you're cold, one minute you don't know what's going on, praise God. Don't let him play with your feelings that way, because what? He's the one that's trying to influence you, amen, to act outside of your character. Your character is who God says you are, and if God says you can remain peaceful and patient, hold on to that and believe that he can do it. Somebody say amen. Is that making any sense? Where do we want to go? I want to go somewhere else with this. Where do I want to go? I'm looking. Let's look at, say this with me. Kingdom. Covenant, promises. See, that's what Israel didn't get. They didn't understand covenant. Covenant means I made a contract with you. And the contract, God makes a contract with them and tell them, listen, you're my people and I'm going to be your God. That was it. If that was enough within itself, once if they understood that, they didn't have to worry about anything. Everything was taken care of, as long as they followed the instructions that God gave them. Can y'all say amen? So kingdom, covenant, and promises are tied to good living, a good life. How many know Jesus said, I come that you may have, and have it what? More abundant. That's John 10 and 10. You can take that down if you don't mind. John 10 and 10, amen. Let's look at that in the Amplified real quick. John 10 and 10. This is the promise he gives to those who are under covenant. In other words, you have received Jesus, Lord, and saved your life, and people are excited about being saved. I am too. He has saved me from my old life. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things become new. And that's exciting within itself. But there's some other excitement that God wants to have when we understand that Jesus said in the scripture, he said, amen, the thief comes only what? To steal, kill, and destroy. He said, I came that they may have life. Y'all hear that? And have it what? And then it says to it what? Full until it what? Now the problem is that we've been preaching Jesus, but we're preaching Jesus and we've removed the word called life, and we have what we, in place of life, we have in service. People are content, the body of Christ, we're content with just having service. Hello. Nothing wrong with having service, but Jesus said, I come that you may have not service. See, are you hearing me? Amen. We need service if we're talking about his life. There's one thing that people are struggling with today that you and I can help them with if we understand that we have faith to believe that Jesus said, not only am I saved, but he wants me to enjoy life till it over. Sometimes I had to ask God, what does that look like? I grew up in a dysfunctional family. What does that look like? I mean, I grew up being saved and going to service, and they didn't even talk about it. They just told you to hold on, amen, and climb up the rough side of the mountain. And they said, just wait on God because he'll come, amen, amen. So it's like we were in survival mode mentality, believing that the blessing would come some way, one week or another, and sometime it did, and then we were just okay, and then we went back to survival mode. But what does it truly mean to live in a place where, y'all ain't hear me tonight. Are y'all hearing me? Amen. Because you know what? I didn't have faith for it. I didn't know what it meant. What does it mean to have, listen, what does it mean to have life and have it more abundantly? I mean, it sounds good, but what does it mean? How does that apply to me today? Where does that fit in today? And even when he said, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for a meek and lowly heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. What does that mean to have rest for your soul? First of all, your soul is your mind, your will, and intellect. That's your soul, your mind, your will, and your intellect. So what does it mean to have rest for your soul? What does it mean to have abundant life? Somebody said, well, I got eternal life. Yeah, that's a part of it. But abundant life starts with you understanding by learning, amen, who Christ has given us, kingdom, covenant, promises, and they're in this life as well as the next. Now, listen, put up 1 Timothy 4:8. Let's look at that in the Amplified real quick. My time is moving, and I'm moving along with my time. Glory to God. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. 1 Timothy 4:8 in the Amplified version. We're going to look at that real quick because I'm just trying to tell you what the Word of God says. It says, for physical training is of some value, useful for a little, but godliness or spiritual training is useful and valuable in everything, and in every way, for it holds the promises of the present life. Y'all hear that? Promises of the present life and also the life which is to come. See, that was the problem with Israel. They got so warped in their mind of being in bondage 400 years that when he delivered them out of Egypt, they said, well, that's enough. He don't have to do anything else. We ain't under bondage anymore. But when they got into the situation when they were in the wilderness, they still needed God to provide for them. And God had already had it covered. To the degree that he wanted to even take them to the Canaan land, but he couldn't because, well, they kept on disobeying him, so he had to keep them in the wilderness a little bit longer, but he never removed the promise of them going into Canaan land, even though their disobedience kept them from where they need to be. Now notice, it's important for you and I to understand that even this says here, amen, that the promises of God, there are promises for this life, but you got to have faith for it. See, faith for it. Somebody say faith for it. Listen, when I was in the Dominican Republic, amen, their economy, they take pesos over there. I took American dollars over there, but their currency is pesos. Peso is how you buy and you sell. Are you hearing me? So I took the American dollars, amen, and then what? Converting them over to the pesos, amen. Now I can do business in their country. Are you hearing me today? See, when we get, my God, when we get saved and in the kingdom of God, our currency, amen, baseball was money. That's what we moved and got in shape and got things done. It still is today. But in the kingdom, it's not money that moves you around. It's your faith is your currency. Your faith, my God. Such and they said, my faith is the currency. See, God, he exchanges through faith. And how I know that, because when I look at scripture, the Bible said there was a woman with the issue of blood, and she went to the doctor, spent all her money, amen, and then she finally got sick of the doctor, sick of everything, and then she heard something one day, that Jesus was in town. The woman's broke, she ain't got no money, come on now, and she's sick, but she did have something of more value to God than anything. It's called her faith. Her faith moved her in position to receive. She's the only one in the Bible that Jesus, amen, did not heal. She healed herself by, she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Amen. She confessed her healing because what he was carrying, the exchange was faith to faith. How we know that? Jesus asked his disciple, who touched me? He said, all these people around here, Jesus, and you saying, who touched me? He said, this touch was an exchange. Somebody withdraw. You can't withdraw from me unless you have faith. If you don't have faith, you can't withdraw. That is the currency of the kingdom. And listen, we need to understand God's waiting on you to develop your faith to receive what he already has for you, but you got to talk right. You can't be talking double-minded because a double-minded man is unstable in all his way, think not that he can receive anything from the Lord. So we're still talking like baby. We're talking the flesh for a while, then we're talking the spirit. We have to mature enough, amen, to stop talking, amen, double-minded, talk single-minded and say, you know, by his stripes I am healed. I don't see how he's going to do it, but I'm telling myself I'm healed in Jesus' name and stand on it even though there's no evidence, because the evidence now is the Word of God. Somebody said the Word of God. She had conviction in her heart. One man, was by the pool of Bethesda, and an angel came down every year to stir up the water. You got all these impotent folks around the water waiting on the time for the angel to come down so they can, whoever got to the water first got healed. Did y'all hear that? And this man, he was crawling to get there. But it never said that all the times he was discouraged and he had someone carry him away. He knew that he was going to get healed. So one time, somebody said, it only takes one time. So Jesus comes along, amen. He sees the man. He knows he's been in that position for 38 years. And then he's telling Jesus what he's waiting. I'm waiting on my healing. He said, I'm in position because faith will put you in position even though you haven't received it yet. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. He's in position. He just can't get there fast enough. So when he finally meets Jesus, Jesus, no, he said, every time I had somebody put me in the angel comes, and I'm almost right there, he says. I'm almost right there. And then what happened? Somebody steps in before me. So Jesus, what he said, take up thy bed and walk. The man, he didn't say, well, how can I do that, Jesus? Jesus had already told him. What he says has the ability to pull you up once you receive it. Does that make any sense? Now, I like this because the thing we need to understand, amen, that God wants us to understand the overflow until it overflows has a lot to do with you bearing his glory. Bearing his glory means that he's done something supernaturally unexplainable in your life, and you know, people know that you couldn't do it, but he's doing it for you. In other words, you'll be a model of his glory. Notice what it says here, amen, in John 10:10. Amen. We're talking about that. The thief come to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I come that you may have life. And then he said, enjoy life. What does that mean to enjoy life? Some people think enjoy life is when you go to the football games on Saturday at the stadium and all the people are hollering, ooh, you know, drinking their beverage, you know, eating their popcorn, you know, and just giving high fives. They're enjoying themselves. He said, I come that you enjoy life. That means your position in life has caused you to live in a supernatural way. That means you don't worry, you pray. Does that make any sense? For time's sake, let me say this, and I'm almost done. How much time I got? I'm looking at my time. Amen. Ooh, I got 2 minutes. Ooh, my God. I thought I had more time. Write this down. I'm going to explain to you what the package is. The package, amen, of the overflow or the life that God has for us, he's really talking about 5 areas in our life when he talks about how he wants us to have abundant life. And I'm going to give it to you free. It won't cost you anything. But first of all, he talks about spiritually. Spiritually simply means develop a spirit-led life. Spiritually, that's number one. He wants you to live a spirit-led life. In other words, be led by the word. Be led by the word. Number two, physically. Physically means developing a healthy lifestyle. A healthy lifestyle. So we got spiritual, physical, which means develop a healthy lifestyle. Here's a third one. This is a good one. Financially. Financially. Somebody say financially. Financially simply means develop a debt-free course of action. Do you not know that God wants you to be debt-free? But you got to have faith for it. And faith for it is, are you confessing that? Not only that, are you learning ways that you can get information where you can manage your debt? Because if you don't manage it, the devil will manage it for you. And he will keep you in debt. So the first one we talked about, amen, is spiritually developing a spirit-led life, physically developing a healthy lifestyle. Financially, we're talking about developing a debt-free course of action. Emotionally, develop an attitude to be free from any negative influences. Number 5, socially, developing a godly attitude when interacting with others. So when he says, I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly, he's talking about spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally, and socially. Y'all got it? Let me go back over again. Spiritually, number 1, developing a spirit-led life. 2, physical, developing a healthy lifestyle. 3, financially, develop a debt-free course of action. 4, emotionally, developing an attitude to be free from any negative influences. Number 5, socially, developing a good attitude when interacting with others. Y'all got that? Last scripture, 1 John 5 and 4. Give me that in the Amplified, if you don't mind, sir. 1 John 5 and 4. And we'll close with this. We got some work to do. Hello? Yeah. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Is that right? And then he says, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Is that the Amplified version? I'm going to let him get the Amplified. Y'all got that? That is Amplified? Okay, we're good. All right. Whatsoever is born of God is what? Victorious. And overcomes what? When he says the world, he's talking about the world system. And the world system has a lot to deal with fleshly behavior. We're not in our fleshly. We learn how to operate through our spirit. I've said something, you had something earlier about having a spirit-led life. That was, we're learning how to do that. But this is the part I want you to get. It said the victory and conquers the world, even our faith. Now, it says here we conquer the world. This is even our faith. In other words, even is like the equal sign. And my math is still correct. And if it's not, you will correct me tonight. 2 + 2 = 4. All right? So 1 + 1 + 1 is 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. So we know 4 = 4. It's the same as on both sides. Is that right? So 8 + 8 = 16. So 16 and 16 = one another. Is that right? The scripture is telling us that you, listen, whosoever is born of God is overcomes the world. Then it gives us the definition how it's done. This victory is conquered. It says it's even your faith. In other words, the conquering is on one side, conquering the world, but you can't conquer in the world unless your faith equals the understanding that you've been called to conquer the world. We have the world. That's not the reference. It's conquering. And then you have conquering, you have victory, but all that's equal to the soul. That's why Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and holy and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. Rest means the promises of God. All the promises of God in him say yea and amen. Can y'all say amen? But you got to have faith for it. The Bible talks about a woman and the unjust judge in Luke 18. Y'all remember that? I'm on my way down. I'm coming down. Y'all don't see me, but I'm coming down. Praise God. And the Bible says that she was treated unjustly in her city. So instead of talking to the people, she went to court. Now, the problem was she had no man to represent her. In the biblical times, you could not come in the courtroom. Back then, you had to come with your son, your husband, some kind of male figure to stand before another man. This woman broke all protocol because she was treated unjustly, but she knew that somebody who sit in a place as a judge can overturn this problem. So the Bible says she comes and the judge sees her break protocol coming into the courtroom, but she has a conviction. The conviction is she wants the thing done right. See, sometimes you got to have a conviction that you're not going to stay in that place that you're in because God, amen, Jesus said it's finished. He's promised you more than what you have, and you're going to have to do something about it because if you don't do something about it, nothing's going to be done. So when she gets to the courtroom, she's kicked out not one time. She got kicked out 3 times. And finally, the judge, you know what he said? He said, you know what? Give this woman what you want because you're going to wear me out. In other words, you just worry me. You just keep coming. Every time I try to tell you, you go, because when your conviction is right to receive recovery, knowing that the promises of God by the righteous judge of God, he wants to see that you come out. You cannot accept failure and defeat because you don't have the reason and understanding to come out. He is the judge. He can bring you out. The Bible says that finally, amen, Jesus would use that parable to say that when the Son of Man come, I'm coming down now. Because how many know he come? He's coming. But when he come, he's looking for one thing in the earth. You know what he's looking for? He said, will I find faith in the earth? Will I find somebody who still has confidence in me? Amen. Their confession is still on me and their obedience is tied to me because it's going to get so dark that if you don't build your faith up, it's hard to be on the left or the right side. You got to be in faith or not in faith. And right now, our biggest battle right now, we need to stay in faith. Touch your neighbor. Don't smack him, but just touch him real quick and say, stay in faith. Praise God. And if I don't ever see you, amen, no more this year, I want to make sure if I do come back next year, I want to see how many of you are still in faith. Because when the Son of Man come, he ain't looking for all those who think they looking for this, that, and other. He's looking to see whether those who still have faith in God. We've come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word, and he has never failed us yet. Come on and raise your right hand with me and say, you know what? I believe that he's able to do all things concerning his will towards me. I receive it now in Jesus' name. Now I'm going to charge you. I'm going to charge you with your hand up. Listen, this. Stop receiving Say that. Say, stop receiving. Now you're talking to me. Stop receiving anything that's not according to his will. Now I'm asking you a question. Is sickness according to his will? Then I don't have to receive it. Come on, is that right? Is poverty according to his will? I don't have to receive it. Well, let me break it down this way. I'm living in a community, amen, nobody's hiring. Is it right for me to say I can't get a job? Why? Because faith says what? Listen, if there's no one there and they're not creating a job and don't have anything, listen, I can pray to God, create a job and bring one there in town, then everybody can have a job. Yes. Is that all right? So we can change. Look at your name and say, I'm a change agent. And I can change by speaking faith in my community. And even over myself. So I charge you tonight with your hand, your right hand raised up. I charge you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you have the authority to come out of any negative situation, and it's your right to do so. So you got to use your confession. You got to use, your confidence in God and find out if there's any instructions to do to your obedience to God, and you will not be in that negative place that the enemy is trying to put you in because you have used your faith to conquer what he's trying to do in your life. Drop that hand and give God some praise real quick.